Why can I say I am God? With tongue in cheek, we all say, I'm God, and then we say, I hope nobody's listening. We say, I'm God, but we don't really believe that. We say, I'm God, but we want to say, golly, if I'm God, I can create the world. If I'm God, I could create perfect health everywhere. If I'm God, I can create harmony and happiness around the world. If I am God, I can do so many things. And then I say to myself, I am God. And I can do all those things. And I do all those things. And I do them very wonderfully. The first reason I can say to myself that I'm God is that there is only one presence and one power in this universe, and that created everything. I just know that. There's no being or no entity, no whatever, that can tell me that there's one power that created everything. There's just a knowingness within me that knows there is one power that created everything. And the one power that created everything, that is universal, everywhere present. It's not only present in itself, which is, of course, natural, but it's present in all that it creates or all that it brings forth out of itself into the universe. And so everything in the universe is born out of God. Everything, the rocks, the trees, the mountains, the animals, the people, everything is born out of God. Everything comes forth from God. And everything that God is, all that God is, all the magic and the wonder and the, the greatness and the simplicity, all that God is in each of its creation. Each of God's creation has the allness of God in it. Now, God does not split himself up and be a little bit here and a little bit there. He does not take his essence and say, I have the ability to say, I'm going to put 10% of it here and 50% of it there, and, you know, 1/10 of 1/10 of 1/10% here. That's an impossibility. Wherever God is, whatever God has created, and that's everything, everywhere, and all that God is in its creation. All that God is in its creation. Now, my big point is, what do I think God is? What do I believe that God is? Do I believe that God is a man? And that as a man, he has all the limitations of a human being? Do I believe God is a spirit that transcends all human beingness? Do I believe that God is an essence? God is a light? Well, I believe all those things. God is all those things. God is the light. God is the essence. God is the knowingness. God is the universal allness. Well, just think, if I believe that, that means that I am that too. If I believe that God is everything and all, then I am everything and all. Now, for so long, for some strange reason, I have been telling myself that I am not the allness of God. What a silly thing to tell myself. But I've been telling myself that. I started out telling myself that through my parents. And my parents would always chastise me and say, who do you think you are, God? Who do you think you are? The white-driven snow? What makes you think you're so intelligent? What makes you think you're so brilliant? when we are challenged like that, when we're challenged, we sort of back off a little bit. It's not a matter that it's true that we are not those things. It's just a matter that we're challenged and we feel, my goodness, are we really those things? Are we really what we believe about ourselves? Are we really the allness? And then as we listen to this dialogue going on around us of people and circumstances saying that we don't know things, saying that we do not have the power to create just like the infinite creator does, saying that we make mistakes and saying that we are ignorant at times, we take all of these things and we say, that must be us. But then another voice inside of us says, I am the all, in you. You express the allness of me to the degree that you believe that you are the allness. Oh my gosh, here I have to now believe something. And I have to believe in the allness, which I don't understand at all. I have to believe in something that is so foreign to me, so unusual to me. But is it? Is it foreign to us to say, I know that I know that I know the divine and he knows the answer? Well, it is unless we train ourselves to that. If we train ourselves to know that I know that I know that I know the divine in me is the answer, then the divine in me can come forth as the answer. But even then, when the divine in me comes forth as the answer, do I look at the answer and say, oh my goodness, I don't believe that? Or do I look at the answer and then say, oh, so what? And do nothing with it? Well, you see, this is the way we have trained the mind of humans, the mind of mankind, to think. We've trained the mind of man to think that all does not now exist absolutely and completely. We say things will be revealed, things will be made known to us. We say if we study hard enough, we will put those thoughts into our mind and then they will become part of our intelligence. And that's not true. For we know all things right now. There is only a universal mind. That universal mind is our mind, and the universal mind, and the allness. But when we say that what the universal mind tells us is not correct, when we deny that we are the universal mind, we shut ourselves off from this channel of awareness, and we say we're not God. We're still God. We're still the allness of God. But we pretend that we are not, because we think it is so outrageous for us to say anything so great about us when we stub our toe, when we have illnesses, when we have lack in our life in any way. Can God have lack in its life? Can God have illnesses? Yes, God can have all these things, because everything comes from God. Everything is God. Now, we say, okay, you mean to say the devil is God? Yes, the devil is God. The Bible likes to call it the fallen angel. Now, that's kind of an interesting term, too. The fallen angel. Now, what is a fallen angel? Well, a fallen angel is someone who was and now pretends that they're not, because they feel unworthy, because they feel that they're not as good as they were and could be and should be, and they have fallen from the awareness. They've fallen from the love of the universal mind, the love of the universal presence, the love of the universal God. And in all ways that we have learned, no matter what our Bible may be, it could be the Quran, it could be the Bible of the Hindus, it could be the Christian Bible, it could be any Bible in the world, they all come out and say, the divine is in you. The divine is in you. In other words, I am God. And all these religions teach that I am God, but they teach it with a gentleness so that we will not run and say, it ain't so, it can't be so. No. Here, I'm a limited guy and I'm God. And is that what God is like? That God is limited? No. God is both limited and unlimited. God is both the doer and the done. God is everything that ever could be thought, ever will be thought, or ever was thought. God is all of that. Now, why is it that we say God is these things, my goodness? Well, we say that because that's what it is. God is everything. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the allness of all. And that includes you and me. That includes me. Yes, it does. So, when anyone is sick, they're God. They're not going to be God. You say, they're not God? That's not God? Well, yes, it is. It's just that is the area that we have taken from our God presence, and we have claimed that as our reality. Now, we can just as easily claim the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is wholeness and perfection in every possible way. Because I am God, wholeness and perfection. I am God, the allness of the universe. I am God, the infinite abundance of the universe. I can be like Obama and I can spend money that isn't even there. And yet it is there. It always was. The infinite abundance is always in the coffers. It's always in the government spendable. And they just haven't paid attention to it. And because they are sometimes bad stewards of the money that they have, they feel that they don't have it. When you are a good steward of the money you have, then you have it. Now, what does it mean to be a good steward of your money? Well, to be a good steward of your money is to be like God and scatter without regard all the infinite money of the universe, all the infinite goodness of the universe, all the infinite love of the universe, everywhere. And not give to things and people and places because they need it, but give because you love to give. God's nature is giving. God's nature is just spreading it out like this grains of sand on the seashore, like the grains of sand in the ocean. They blow over the Sahara Desert off into the ocean, and then little by little they spread across the bottom, and changes take place in the landscape. The changes take place in everything. And hey, it's an ever-changing human world. But God is eternal, and God is all, and God is unchangeable. That's right. God is eternal, God is all, and God is unchangeable, and I am God. So therefore, I must be unchangeable. Now, what is it that's unchangeable about me? Am I unchangeable because I am always healthy? Or am I unchangeable because I am always poor? Am I unchangeable because I am a genius? And am I unchangeable because I do not know certain things? They don't seem to make sense, do they? If God is unchangeable, and we are God, and if we are changeable, and we are God, well, something's amiss there. Well, what's amiss is that it's our interpretation of what is change. The new school of chaos, it's a wonderful school, it's a university in California, and it's the University of Chaos. And in that University of Chaos, everyone who is participating in the university is doing research into what appears to be chaos and how it's actually a very harmonious pattern that is being exhibited. When you hear the drip, drip, drip of a faucet, and you think to yourself, the drip, drip, drip of the faucet is chaos because it's dripping up and it's dripping down and it's dripping sideways and it's dripping around. And it has one sound one moment, another sound another moment. And no two sounds ever seem to be the same. Well, in the scientific technology, they have studied the drips and they have found every drip has a universal pattern to it. Some quite long, some quite short, but there's a universal pattern to it. There is no chaos there. There's order. There's balance and order. So it appears that our mind might not, at this present moment, be directed toward understanding that all is balance, all is chaos, an infinite balance, and that I am this chaos and I am balance. And as I am balance, I am the allness balance, then every single thing that I think, say, or do is me being who I am. I can say I'm God because God is everything, not separating anything out, not taking anything away from God, not for 1 minute saying that it's evil, so it's not God. Well, it is God, but the only point here is that who says it's evil? Well, it's not beneficial. Well, who says it's not beneficial? Well, well, who says that? We look at the earthquakes, the tornadoes, the floods. We look at the hurricanes. We look at all of the natural phenomena caused by the nature around us. And we say that those are acts of God. Well, they are. Everything is an act of God. Now, in our finite eyes, our eyes not accustomed to studying chaos, we look at a hurricane and we think it is terrible, it's doing a bad thing as it's going along. Well, truly is it? Is it an expression of a cause put into motion and the result of that cause put into motion? You bet it is. Every act of nature, every act of God, quote and end quote, every act of God is the cause of some, the result of some cause put in motion, and that cause is the thought of humanity. And humanity thinks that the storms must come down to the earth and must bother the inhabitants of the earth. Well, now, that's very nice. If that's the truth, why doesn't every single person on the face of the earth be bothered by the hurricanes of Florida? Why doesn't everyone on the face of the earth be bothered by the monsoons of India? Why is it? Well, it was created for those areas by the people of those areas. And they say the monsoons come again and again and again. They do. Now, if these people could be trained by some infinite creator to speak their word and say, the weather is always in balance. There's always just enough rain, just enough sun, just enough of everything to make our plants grow and to make our whole society live in harmony and balance. All is done in perfect order. The cosmic or chaos attitude of the weather, of the monsoon, makes many people think it is an ugly thing, because as it deluges the land and floods the land and kills the people, it's a terrible thing. Well, it is always going to be that way, as long as you as God or I as God keep creating it to be ugly. So now we say over India, where the monsoons are, everything is always in balance. We say the weather always provides opulently, but never too much, for the needs of the ground, the needs of the people, the needs of the crop, the needs of the program they have for themselves. Now, I as God ask you as God, how often have you said that? How often have you said, God is good and everything is God, and God is balanced and everything is balanced? How often have you said that? You can say you're God, because you're the one who is saying it or not saying it. And whatever you put your attention on, that is what you experience. Now, if you'd like to say, I am God, and then believe that you're God, and then act like God, and be aloof from all of these appearances, all of these illusions, because all these illusions come and go, as difficult as it is to appreciate it. All of these things, the floods that drowned many people, the water that washes out the crops, the floods that go through other countries, the hurricanes, the tornadoes, all of these things, we think they're bad, and they're not bad. They're just the creation of our own thought, because we think it's interesting. We tell people in Florida, if you would like to, you just speak to the hurricane and say, go up and play. Go up into the atmosphere and play. You don't have to play down here on the earth. You can play up in the atmosphere, 500 feet, 1,000 feet, 10,000 feet. Go up in the atmosphere and play. And people who have done that, who have spoken to the hurricane and said, go up into the atmosphere and play, were amused that the hurricane did not appear in their landscape. But they did not take credit for the fact that they told the hurricane to go and play in the upper levels of the atmosphere, not down here on the earth atmosphere. And people say, well, that can't be so. Well, it is all the time. Every cause you and I put in motion as God is brought forth in most marvelous ways. You know, we can say our God, because we are being God all the time. We are creating and we are causing things to be all the time. Sometimes we create something we don't like, and so then we stop creating it and we create something we do like. Now, the thing that we didn't like was as much a creation of God as the thing that we do like. And once we get to that realization for ourselves, I know that for myself, then I know that I'm God. And I know all I have to do is put the cause in motion for what I want. And then it is done. I don't have to put a cause in motion against anything that I don't want, because that only makes whatever I don't want even more dominant in my life. So as I start thinking, what is it that I do want? What is it that I do want in my life? Do I want peace and harmony and love? Do I want abundance? Do I want right action? Do I want truth? Do I want wholeness? What do I want in my life? What things are really important to me? Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever God thinks in its heart, so is it. You say, well, God thinks in its heart on these things? Well, not really. God doesn't think. God does not participate in the act of wanting things done or thinking things or condemning people or condemning circumstances. God only sees everything good and very good. God only sees everything good and very good. So, as God sees everything good and very good, there's nothing to be changed. There's nothing to be changed in the world. For God sees all good and very good, so it means it's okay. It can just stay just the way it is. My goodness. What about all those ugly, unhappy things? Well, those are, if you will, ugly, unhappy thoughts. And if we put in some glorious, happy thoughts, these glorious, happy thoughts will be ours just as much as the unhappy thoughts. And when we stop thinking about the unhappy thoughts atrophy, they dry up and blow away, they're no longer part of our world. I can say I'm God because really I'm doing it all the time. I'm doing it all the time. And I'm expressing it in so many ways. A lot of times I seem to want to take on the unhappinesses of other people. They tell me their woes and they tell me their sicknesses and their problems. And I look at them and I say, well, put a new cause in motion. Do this or do that. And then I say, okay, if I'm God, why did I create this person coming to me with their problem? If I am God, why did I create anything happening in my world telling me that there's a condition that exists that is people are not happy with? So, since I am God, I do not create that in my world. And it is merely an opportunity when something like that comes up to my attention, it doesn't belong to me, when it comes up to my attention, to see it in my perfect pattern. Now what do I look at everything and say about it? What do I say about everything I have created? What do I say about everything in this vast, 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 wonderful universe of mine? I say all is good and very good. And so, as I say this, any appearance, which seems to be contrary, no longer has a leg to stand on. Any appearance that is not for me goes away. I do not give attention to anything I do not want to experience in my life or in the life of my creation. And those experiences that may be there atrophy and go away as though they never had been there. Yes. I play lots of games with my creation. I just enjoy playing games with my creation. One of the games I love to play, and I often speak about it, is a game of spiritual healing. And spiritual healing is a little special word. It means healing that is not a healing. Healing that is not a healing. Spiritual healing. Healing that is not a healing. Oh, how silly that is. Herb, you've gone off your rocker again. No. No. This is the truth. I, as God, know this is the truth. When you seek spiritual healing, which is really what all people are talking about, and you say to yourself, I am whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. When you say that, and then you say these very crucial words, it is done. And when you say it is done, then a sort of a magic wand is apparently waved over your world and your experiences. And the magic wand leaves you spiritually illumined and physically, mentally, and spiritually whole and perfect, absolute, without any remembrance of the experience you had before that you called a disease. Without any remembrance of it. And you walk around and you live and you have no way of saying, once I was ill and now I'm whole and perfect. Because truly always we are whole and perfect. We may put on an illusion, which is a game, which is okay. And it's okay, it's created by God too. And we may play that game as long as we want, and when we're done playing it, we put it aside. Well, now, when a spiritual healing is there, and we have put aside our games, and we have been to the hospital, we've been to the doctors, we've had our family worry about us, and we have that wonderful new revelation, leaving behind all that is past. As we do that, the doctors we had gone to see do not remember our case. The nurses who worked with us do not remember us. Our family do not remember that we ever were ill. And the most wonderful thing of all, we do not remember that we ever were ill. Now, isn't that a lovely thing for you and me as God to say, I am God and I create everything spiritually whole and perfect. Spiritually whole and perfect. Never remembering anything other than this spiritual wholeness and perfection. What a glorious thing that is. What a marvelous thing that is. Yes, and what a terrible thing that is. The terrible part of that thing is that you do not remember you were ever ill. You do not remember you were ever having a problem. You do not remember what you did to leave the problem behind and march forth triumphant without the problem. You do not remember that you said, I am divine. I am divine, spirit, mind, and body. I am living my ideal spirit, mind, and body. All me, all about me, all about who I am and where I am and what I am is divine order. All is divine order. All is divine order right now. That's why I can say I'm God. Because I have the opportunity to choose between all the possibilities and make those possibilities that I love or that I desire, make those possibilities my illusions of truth. Whereas one person may have an illusion of truth of an illness, another person has an illusion of truth as wholeness. One person has an illusion of truth as something fantastic, like they're wealthy as can be, they got so much money, like Bill Gates, and they can't spend it fast enough because it keeps coming in, and they set goals for themselves, and they can't reach those goals because the money keeps piling up and piling up and piling up. What are we going to do? Well, don't worry about it. And don't set any goals. Spirit never sets any goals. Spirit just is and does and lets go. You, Bill Gates, Melinda Gates, just go and do whatever you want to do and have fun. And if the money is hanging around, well, that's okay too. Somewhere along the line, it'll be placed into motion for a benefit for itself or for another. But it doesn't matter. And if the money were to all burn up, you know, it would still be there. It would still be there because the foundation or the reason for that money, the reason for that currency having validity is always there. A nation may fall, but its economic value remains the same if the nation keeps its people and its productivity going. The nation of Germany, my goodness, they were in this Second World War and they were rather tough. And so high restrictions were put on them. And one of the most blessed restrictions put on them was that they could not enter into having any machinery of war. They could not make war machines. They could not make tanks and all these things that other people were wondering about. And so the United Nations took care of them, guarded them, protected them from anything in the world. And because they did not have to pay attention to those war machines, they could take all of their genius and put it onto their economic truth. And they became immediately, if not sooner, one of the most financially sound nations in the world. The same with Japan. Japan was told, no more war machines. You can't do that. And just do whatever else you want, but no war machines. And Japan put all their creative energy, which is endless, and they put their creative energy on doing all sorts of economically sound things. And they became the world's great power. They are still a world great power in the finances, in money, in banking, in productivity. They're a magic nation. They were off key for a while, like Germany was off key, like we and other countries get off key now and then when we think that we're superior to other people and all the nations of the world should have our democracy to govern them so all the nations in the world have the best. Well, that's not the way it works. There are many games to be played. The game that many people like to play is the game of limitation, or they like to play the game of feeling sorry for themselves. And when they feel sorry for themselves, then they create about themselves limitation. Whereas in truth, they're all God. They're all fantastic. Just like me. I can say I'm God because I'm fantastic. I'm glorious. I'm wonderful. I'm marvelous. Everything I do is good and very good. Everything I think is good and very good. Every way that I look at my life is the way that God looks at all things. It is in the now and it is done. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. That is who I am. I can say I'm God because there's nothing else in the entire universe, or universe of universes, or whatever we want to conceive of, not conceiving of. All of that is good and very good. All of that is God. All of that is wonderful. All of that is most amazing. And all of that is who we are and where we're going. I can say I'm God because there's nothing else but God. I can say I am God because I act like God. I think like God. I look like God. How does God think? Well, God doesn't think. God is. And all things are. Well, how does God act like God? Well, God doesn't act like God. God is, and all things are. And there's nothing to act like, and there's nothing to change, for all is a beautiful expression of whatever is going on in the creative minds of my creation, humanity. Or, all that's going on in the creative mind of my creation, animals, or minerals, or vegetables. Because all is me, all is God. And all is very good. Remember, all is good and very good. Well, if all is good and very good in my domain, how wonderful that is. I bring that forth fully, beautifully, wonderfully in my life, in my world. Oh, God has a life? Well, that's just a phrase we use. God is life. God is all these things. But for our human understanding, we use the term in a more literal way. And we say, God is life. And we say that God dispenses its life to all. And it doesn't dispense its life to all. Everything is a replica of its creator. Oh, come on now. A stone is a replica of God. A stone is a replica of everything that God consists of, or everything that God is. And a man, a human being, is a replica of everything that God is. And an automobile, or a dog, or a cat, or what tree, you name it, is all a replica of God, an exact duplicate of God, of all the allness of God. And the answer is yes. When we, in our perceptivity, when we, in our ability to look deeply, profoundly into all, we will look past the outer illusion of dogness about a dog, and we will see all of the features, factors, and symptoms of God there. We'll see life in all of its beauty. We'll see wholeness in all of its beauty. We'll see love, unconditional love, in all of its beauty. We'll see all these things because that's what makes up God. God is not the substance of the minerals and the vegetables and that is all that God is. That's merely how God is expressing itself as that through that. And that's why we can say we're God, because we are constantly creating our universe exactly the way we want it. We are creating people in our universe. I am creating people in my universe who are loving and gentle and kind and thoughtful. I'm creating people in my universe whom I enjoy having talks with them and sharing with them. I create people in my universe who are absolutely magnificent. They're the ideal person. And how wonderful that is. How wonderful it is to be the ideal person, and as the ideal person, to live that ideal quality in all that I am. Why can I say I'm God? That's all there is. Why do I bother saying I'm God? Because it's fun. And what happens when I say I'm God? I'm God, God I am, I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am. What happens? Well, we are telling ourselves who we are. We're reminding ourselves who we are. For sometimes in our illusions and in our appearances, we lose sight of who we are. We lose sight of the reality that we are, the fantastic quality that we are, and we think we are the limited experience of the leaf off of the tree, or the limited experience of a wind, a breeze that's blowing by, or the limited experience of a tornado is sucking up from the earth all of the interesting things that it does. How fascinating. We are God. Wonderfully, totally, perfectly, magnificently expressing right now. We are the allness, and how great that is. But we are the allness because that's all there is. We are the allness since that is what God is. Now our opportunity, our choice, our desire could be to learn more about how, who, where, why, when, and why we are God. How do we express God? How do we act like God? How do we live like God that we are? How do we do everything? Now, if any one of us, especially me, were to take all of my attention and turn it to looking at why I am God and listening within myself to the answers, I would be delightfully amazed. And as I look within, I'm in this presence of knowing that I am God, and at the same time, I'm looking out at the universe that I created, that God created, that is, and I look at all the beautiful people, and I think to myself, I did a good job there. I look at all the beautiful animals, and I think, wow, how lovely. I look at all the sky and the trees, and I look at the planets and the suns and the stars and the galaxies. I say, wow, what expansiveness. What magic, what utter magic. And I look at these things, and I say, I'm God. I'm the creator of these things. And then I think, okay, I'm going to create a new planet. I'm going to call it the planet of unconditional love. And on that planet, all exists as unconditional love. And everyone who goes to that planet or lives there or expresses there is the epitome, the absolute quality of unconditional love. Now, how wonderful that is. So as I say that, as I say that I'm creating this planet of unconditional love, can I do that? Can I create a planet if I would have created a planet? Sure. And is that planet wonderful? Yes. I had created the planet of unconditional love many, many years ago. And in seminars that I give and in out-of-body experiences I give and all of these other things, we take a journey to the planet of unconditional love. And as we take a journey to that planet, everyone sees it through their own eyes. And for me, it's a golden, golden planet. For another, it's pure white. For another, it's blue. And those are just some of the symptoms that people see. All are good. All are wonderful. But it's, for me, my creation. And as long as I create it however I like it, then that's the way it'll be. This earth that I live on, this earth that this physical body of Herb is on, I created that too. I created all the people here. I created all the circumstances, I created all the experiences here, and I look at it and I say, hey, that's pretty nice, I'm a pretty good creator. And then I see a conflict here, and I say, oh, won't you people ever behave? Why must you have a conflict? And then God in me, the inner voice, says, you're judging. And so I look at the people who are having a conflict, and I say, peace, peace. I surround you with my pure white light of peace. All is in divine order, whatever it is that you are talking about. Whatever it is, all is in divine order. And within moments after I have spoken my word for peace, the fighting stops, the anger stops, the hatred stops, all the things that cause the misunderstanding stop. And whereas only moments before they were bitter enemies, now they are friends. They're friends forever. And the situation that they experienced had a spiritual healing. It completely dissolved all the conditions that brought it about and were experienced by it. And no one remembers what they were arguing about. No one remembers what they were unhappy with each other about. And me, least of all, because I look at all the world and I say, peace. Peace. I see all the world as peace. I see all people whole and perfect. I see all people whole and perfect, including myself, under all circumstances. I see all people whole and perfect. How well am I polishing my ability to perceive the world as I am? Well, my life's an indication of how well I do it. I have a few ups and downs now and then in my life, reminding me that there are areas I have to get my act in order, and that's good. But it's not something that says I'm bad. It's something that says if you're getting results you don't want, you're putting causes in motion that bring about that result, just as simple as that. Now, what do you want to do, Herb? How do you want to be? Well, I'm God. And I can say I'm God because I know that I am. I know that my word brings about everything I speak about. Okay? But if that's what the truth is, then go for it. Go for it. Experience it. Demonstrate it in your life, in your world, in your experience of all this. Just go for it. Why can I say I'm God? Oh my goodness. My thought is filled with reasons I can say I'm God. My experience is filled with activities that show that I am God. All is showing I am God. And then testing time comes. And in the testing time it says, okay, are you ready to stand behind what you're saying? Yeah, sure, sure. All right, speak your word. Demonstrate whatever you want to demonstrate right now. Go ahead, speak your word. Okay, all my world is in divine order. Okay, fine. Is your world in divine order? It's getting there. It's coming along. The problems are getting less severe. And it's, what do you mean? All is in divine order. And then I ask you if everything is okay, and you say it's coming along. What sort of interesting phrase is that? How can you speak with two ideas in your mind at the same time? How can you say it's coming along, and how can you say it's all done? That's not right. That's not logical. That's not the way it works. Well, you do have a point there. Okay. I say, all is in divine order, and let it be. I say, all is in divine order, and let it be. I do not get in there and check it. I do not unearth the seed to see if it's growing in the garden. I let it be. I plant it beautifully, positively, wonderfully. And as I plant it beautifully, positively, and wonderfully, then the reason I say, I can say that I am God, is that I am a great creator. I am a great creator. It doesn't matter whether it's your husband's car, your wife's car, your husband's world, or your wife's world, or the children's world, or something. When you speak your word, when I speak my word, there is no otherness. There is no wife's car, husband's car, children, and attitudes. All is one, and all is good. And when I speak my word, all is in divine order. It means all. The allness of the universe, on every level that I play on. And when I speak my word with conviction, with a belief, then everybody on the face of the earth is experiencing my statement. All is in divine order. Everybody on the face of the earth is realizing that they're the creators now and forevermore. Think of these things, for they truly are glorious and good. That's why I can say I'm God, but that's just a starter. I could go on for a zillion, trillion years telling all the reasons that I can say I'm God.